to this year of Pure. Very excited for Sakat Gittin, which is a very, like all Basakta, is a very wealth of really fascinating and important topics. You know, just when you think you can't do better because Bava Basra is so good. But every Masechta, when you learn it, is really, packed full of really enriching, topics. So we're very much looking forward to that. There seem to be some new faces, so we'll try to... It takes a little bit of time. I ask, your patience a little bit, but everybody should keep, reminding me of their names. And we'll try to do a little, be a little more efficient on the early meetings this year. But I say that every year, so I mean it every year when I say it. But the fact that I have to keep repeating it every year probably says something about how effective it is. But we'll try again to be a little quicker. We welcome certainly everybody. And if you need, everybody has chavrusas or not? We don't know. So, first of all, I want to thank Josh and Eitan in advance because they've agreed to assume, the position, the leadership position. And, we can thank Josh as the representative of the outgoing triumvirate. I don't think Avrami's here. He's not here, right? They couldn't even come the first day. All right. He said his Baruch Shem Tarani, and he was, at least Asher we know is on a plane or something, for family obligations. But the three of them were really wonderful, and we look forward to Josh and Eitan being equally, according to their own styles and personalities. So anybody who's, new, or even if you're not new, and you... need help, especially with the chavrusa in the beginning, they're a good address to go to, to organize that. And of course, let me know as well if I can help, and we'll try to set up meetings. Anybody who has a more urgent need should just be in touch with them or be in touch with me, and we'll try to get you in earlier. But we definitely look forward to getting to know everybody, although that takes a little bit of time, so we ask for patience. But the goal certainly is to know everybody and to, Mirtz Hashem, get to know them well. So hopefully that will also contribute to your success in the yeshiva and in the shir, and so on. So before we begin, we're sending a list around, so that helps, both for me to get to know the new people, for everybody to get to know each other, so we'll try to, read that a little bit. Also, I assume it was already... You should put your name and also where you've been the previous couple of years. That gives me a little bit of a better sense of everybody's background. We'll work hard on the, getting to know you part as well. In terms of the shorter schedule, I'm going to be away from Shabbos. I'm not going to be back by Sunday. So this coming week, instead of, usually we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Monday is usually Hashkafa, but this week we'll just go, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, the regular shir, and then hopefully we'll start, I think the week after that is also one of those shorter, because it's Labor Day weekend, is that the one after? Oh, we'll figure it out, we'll do one at a time. But we'll, if we have to skip a shir, we'll skip the Hashkafa, not because it's not important, it's very important, but we don't want to get behind on the Ikar Halimud. And, as we always like to say, it's all, the hashkafa is the halacha is the hashkafa. So we believe that in a very deep way. So, it's not so terrible. You okay? Okay, good. Good to have you back. Okay. So that's that. In terms of the, the shiurim next week will be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. And then a week after that, we'll figure out. But we'll, hopefully, get into it. So I typically start with a Haftarah. Gittin really lends itself particularly to Haftarah. The Haftarah last year was, in Bava Basra, since we did the first parak, was, also very rooted in the beginning, in Hezek Re'iyah. Everybody remember Hezek Re'iyah from last year? It also had the end of Chesed Sabbat, and it was all over the place. But... the Hakdama in Gittin, as you can see from the Marm Kamos, I think the one that makes sense, the one that I believe in, really starts at the end of the Masechta. Hopefully the Marmokobos were you know, disseminated. I'll probably add to them at some point, but I assume there's enough for the next couple of days for people to, you know, to get into it. So what we're going to try to do is, you know, begin a little bit with to identify. We'll start already today with the psukim, and we'll see if we can also get already into the last Mishnah. We're going to be Korei Lamafreya, you know, a little bit, you know, backwards. I mentioned this in the past, but the year that I was in the Rav Shir when he learned Gittin, so he actually started from the end of the Masechta. And the first day when he came in, you know, he made a whole point of saying that, in his opinion, you know, Gittin was written backwards and it really should have started from, you know, from the end of the Masechta. Partly that was because he previously given Shiurim on the beginning of the Masechta, he probably just wanted to give Shiurim on the end of the Masechta. But, you know, he did make a strong, you know, case for it, in the sense that, like, the main Mishnah of, you know, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, Gimel Gittin Psulim, which we'll be speaking a lot about, is, of course, Andaf Peivav. And the entire last parak, I'll explain why I'm elaborating this in a moment, which talks, you know, begins, the parak begins with the discussion of, you know, being megarish chutz miploni, a situation where your, you know, gerushin is not, you know, absolute, but it is either conditional in some cases, or you know, it you know, leaves a residual, you know, in terms of the effect of the get. You know, the those discussions are really very critical conceptually, like, to understanding what, you know, what get is really all about. So there is a strong case to be made for, and I do want to spend a little bit of time, the reason I'm elaborating in particular, especially this question of chutz and the relationship between, we'll call it the, you know, the matir, you know, side of the get, you know, the heter lashuk that results from a get, and the iser labal, which is kind of the flip side of what happens in ishus, where you have a heter labal, you know, an iser, you know, a kula alma, you know, kehekdesh, to use language of the Gemara and Kedushin Daf Beis. So that's really something that is discussed, you know, more in the topics in the end of the Masechta, in the beginning of the Masechta. But they really kind of, they say, accentuate, you know, the nuts and bolts, the conceptual, you know, ingredients, the, you know, the dimensions, let's say, of Gerushin. So, you know, focusing a little bit on the end of the Masechta, you know, before you get to the beginning. Beginning, ironically, is it starts with the Din Rabbanan, which we'll discuss. You know, maybe get the Dinas Hayam, the requirement of Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam, which may be related to, you know, either Kiyum or Shash Lishma or things like that. So it's just an interesting the way the Masechta is structured, that the first parak focuses a lot on Dinas Rabbanan, and by the end of the Masechta deals with a lot of the more fundamental shtaros and gittin questions. So we will, you know, be doing a hakdama. I particularly want to start with Daf Tzadi. The Rav wasn't talking about that. I don't remember if he did spoke about that much. I don't recall it. But the last mission, of course, and, you know, the last real sugya in the Masechta, you know, seems like a funny place to start. But of course, that is where you have the famous views of Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Akiva about, you know, justifying or motivating, you know, reasons for a get. What does Matzah Ba'erbas Davar mean? Very strong, you know, phrase. And you know, when is a get? When is Gerushin a mitzvah? When is Gerushin, you know, something which is viewed very disapprovingly? You know, almost as a, you know, a betrayal, and as a way of tarnishing, you know, a davar shebekdusha. I'm speaking, you know, strongly, but we'll see if the formulations are justified as we discuss some of the evidence. So the first topic that I want to discuss in the introduction is beginning with the psukim, the way the Torah presents Gerushin, and then The question of motivations or justifications, the davrusha be'erva aspect of Gittin, I think that that is obviously very hashkafically important, but very halakhically, it sets the tone as well. So we're going to speak about that. And then I want to speak a little bit about kind of what I alluded to in the question of chutz, the relationship between the two results of a classical get. In other words, in a typical case of gittin, what happens is that the heter labal and the iser lekula alma, right, is reversed. And there's a, the relationship between the husband and wife, sadly, is terminated, and she's asura lo. In the process, there's a heter lekula olam. So what is the relationship of those two elements, in Kiddushin and in Gittin, frankly? We'll have to discuss them. Are they two independent? Can they ever be, separated? To the extent that typically they go together, they're integrated, like is one more dominant than the other, or are they both just a function of like the common denominator? It's inseparable and therefore doesn't really matter. One is the other, or they're really different. And even if they're, even if they're not separable, or even if in many cases they're not separable, and certainly they're linked, no one would go so far as to say that these are two completely independent, ideas. But I'd say, is there a more dominant, factor, dimension, one of the other? And how does that compare, to Kiddushin, where you have, the parallel, I say, when Kiddushin takes place, so she's Asar Akulama Kaktish, and she's Muteres Labala. Is it, of course, it's not a coincidence that the same two, ingredients are there. Are they there in the same, balance? And are there differences? And if so, at minimum, that would be subtly, interesting and food for thought, and maybe something to build, other patterns after. Like in assessing, I'll get back to that in that just a minute, like the Yatzav HaHoysa, the relationship between, Gittin and Kiddushin. Parallel opposites, how parallel, how opposites, et cetera. So that's the second topic I want to speak about. I'll try to make it brief because we're not going to do the whole parak on the Garish, but definitely we want to discuss that. And then after that, I do want to introduce the topic of shtaros. Those of you here last year in Balbasar, we did discuss some aspects of shtaros. I think we said then that we would elaborate more. So we have a foundation, but even for the people who are new, we'll obviously recast what's necessary. How does what is a shtar? Is get, different than regular shtaros? Obviously, the question of the Lazar and the Meir. That also is, as they say, strong roots in the Mishnah and Pei Vav and Aleph, but it's really a Shas topic. And, of course, that has very strong, has a very strong locus in the first parak as well, Dap Gimel, Dap Dalet, the question of the Kosav, and what that means, which is part of the argument between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir. So we anticipate basically discussing, three important topics before we kind of get into the, Shakavataria of the Retzef of the Shakavataria of the first parak, and then we'll try to do the parak justice, but I may not skip over, but at least do quickly certain parts of the Durabanans of Fanei Nachta, which are interesting, but it's such a rich Masech that we don't want to lose out on other things, to try to get to some of the things in the second parak, especially the things of Ksiva Saget and Lishma, which we'll, of course, be touching on a lot. So that's the general plan, going forward. Everybody should just be aware we're not starting from the base, even though we just mentioned the mission on the base, we'll mention it again. But mostly we're going to be doing a couple of topics that are critical to the Masechta first. In terms of Sparim, you can ask me in a moment, but is there a Shitas Kamoi on Gittin or not? Anybody know? What?
I think yes.
Do they sell it here? Okay, so we'll have to...
Wait, what? Is that the one they call the Yad Ramah sometimes?
No. I'll get to that in a second. No, the Shitas Kamoi, you know, the one that we often use, you know, that has the kind of more, we'll say, exotic, you know, Rishonim, but, you know, Lefi Seder Adapim. I just don't have one. It came out, you know, in more recent times.
It does exist.
Yeah. If anybody can get a hand there, it's good to have access to if you can. I would love one if somebody is, you know, able to find one. You know, I'll repay you, but you know, I just have to get access to one. They have, like, you know, as I say, some of the, you know, more exotic Rishonim that you can't find elsewhere. They just do a good job. It's a, you know, practically important book. No tab. So if we can get our hands on that. But mostly, Gittin is a rich Masechta. Obviously, you have, you know, the Rosh and the Ran and the Rif and so on. But you also have, you know, the Chachmei, you know, Svarad, which are obviously very important, the Ramban, the Rajba. You asked about the Ramah. The Ramah and the Chidusha Miksaviyad, is that what they call it, of the Ritva, seem to be, you know, very similar or the same in some places. I often call it the Ramah Ritva or the Ritva Ramah because it doesn't seem to be, it's not, that one is not the real Ritva. But, you know, we do have the regular Ritva too. So you have Ramban Rajba Ritva, that Ramah, we'll call it, or the school Ramah. Rabbeinu Kreskes is more like the Ritva. You have Tosas Chachmei Anglia, Tosa Rosh. You have the Meiri, of course. You have a pretty full complement of Rishonim, which you should have access to. There's notes are Gaonim, which is good to have access to. You don't need those things every day, just like the Kamai. But those are good things to have, access to, for sure. There's also somebody put out years ago, they called it something like, I forgot to write exactly, something like Balei Tosfos al Masechet Gittin, where they also... put al Seder Adaf, the Rabbans, the Ravyas, some of the, Sefer Truma, some of the Balei Tosfos that are not on the Daf, but that are, strewn about in different places, that, if you have access to it, it's a good thing. If not, I have access to it, so I can call, attention to it. As well. So that's in terms of the Rishonim. Is there anything more recently that I don't know about that's been put out? No? What? Od Mukei Yosef. You don't have to be on the way to Memphis?
Tomorrow.
Okay. We're happy to have you, don't get me wrong. Just trying to figure it all out. Od Mukei Yosef, anything else? Anything else that I don't know about that's been put out recently, or I have to check with Natan, if there's more. Natan's probably listening in Israel.
He's here.
Well, Natan's here?
And Moshe.
Oh, you're here. Are you supposed to be in Israel?
Not
yet. Oh, okay. Is there any? Do they have any of those like Ofek things on Gittin or not? No Rees. No Tosis Rees. Okay. All right. Anyways. Okay, you'll let me know. Okay. Anyways, it's good. It's good to greet Natan while he's here, and we he keeps us honest because he's listening in Israel. So.
I think they have the Kamai online
on Hebrew books.
I don't think
that
Hebrew books.
It's on Otsar. Oh, that I don't have.
It's on the newer
version. We all have it. Yeah, Bar-Ilan has it.
Bar-Ilan has it.
On the newer version.
Oh, really? From the past 29 or?
I think 29 and 30.
Oh, really?
This is what it's supposed to look like?
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Well, I can get it.
You've seen it before. On my desk.
Yes,
sir. Okay, good. So that's that. In terms of the Achronim, that I don't know so much, but you should definitely have access to Shulchan Aruch Advisor, of course. And an important sefer on Gittin and Eben Ha'ezer is the Torah's Gittin of the Nesivos. And of course, in terms of you know, the counterpart, you have the Avnei Biluim of you know, of the Baal Haksos. You should definitely have access to those because we'll definitely be making reference to them. And then, of course, like, you know, there's a Pnei Yoshua, and I guess in the, you know, the those Kadmonim, you know, the other things, they probably have a whole bunch of other, you know, acronym, I'm guessing. Right? Some Sofer, etc. Okay, so good. So that, those are things. We welcome Moshe, but, you know, maybe we should convince them all to stay. You know? And Tovia's back, I see. There he is. Mazel tov. Oh, before we begin the actual presentation, we all have to, we have a chasan, so we start off the year, you know, in proper singing fashion. Josh, it's, while you're here, you can at least you can at least give us a final song.
Really while I'm here.
For, go ahead.
I'm singing.
Yeah. Standing, chosh of a member of the shir, but also our gabbai. Even if you're not here this year, you know, you're still.
I still got to call people out.
What? Absolutely.
I got to get people to gabbai.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're still the gabbai. Okay. Anyway, but mazel tov, very, very excited for you. Okay, so let's begin. So, how are you? You standing up because you're.
It's hard to sit down.
Ah, okay, good. As long as that's not like a bad bag. Okay, so let's begin with the psukim and make a couple of points, and then we will, we don't have so much time today, but we'll continue, you know, with the, we'll try to get to the Mishnah as well. But let's begin with the psukim, which happened, you know, we're getting to that in the end of Devarim, but in Parshas Ki Teitze, Akiva, you want to start us off?
Sure.
Okay. So where are the psukim? Perek Chav Dalet, right in Parshas Ki Teitze. So yeah. Well, so we'll read them first, and then we're going to, you know, dissect them a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So, Akiva, what do you think? First impressions. This is the Parsha of Gerushin. Okay.
Yeah, there, I mean, there seem to be a lot of details that are important.
First of all, a lot of details. First of all, that's a great point.
And they're repeated twice in, you know, in
excellent.
Exactly the same fashion.
Exactly. It sounds like they're all like in quotation marks or something. So number one, let's go with Akiva's impressions first, and then we will add to them. But I think that's a great sensitive reading. The first thing that's very striking, I don't know if it's the first thing, but one thing that's very striking, exactly as Akiva said, is how much detail, you know, there is about Gerushin. And the more you know, even if you were just to read, again, these are just impressions of reading, you know, Mikra, but, you know, and comparing, of course, is a methodological question, you know, and that is like, you know, maybe the Torah always presents, you know, every halachic, you know, category institution, you know, in this way, in which case, you know, there's nothing, it's still very important, right, but there's nothing unusual about it. So one of the things that we, our antennae should be, you know, sensitive to is, you know, is this unusual, you know, or not? And, you know, you don't necessarily need chapter and verse, but, you know, if we've done our, Maver Sedra, let's say, over the years, or anybody who's, you know, learned some of these topics, I think it's totally correct impression to say that the way that the Torah describes Gerushin is with particular detail and specificity, which I think is what you were saying. Number one, part of that is that a lot of the words that are used to depict the process of Gerushin, right, seem to be very specific, seem to convey, you know, a lot of minute, you know, halachos. And we're going to document that, you know, in just a minute. And that is reaffirmed by the second point that Akiva made, which is it's very interesting, and that's what I meant by the, you know, by the quotation marks, you know, v'kasav lo sefer krisis v'nasam v'yada v'shilcha mibeso, which appears in Pasuk Aleph, and anyways seems to be jam-packed based on the formulation. I'll get to that in just a second. I'll give you a sampling without trying to learn all of Masachet Gittin, you know, through the Mikra, you know, but I'll give you a sampling of a lot of the topics that you're going to encounter, you know, in the Shir, you know, topics, and in the Masechta, because many of you are going to be learning this, you know, for the rest of the day or night. So this formulation, Kosov L'Sefer Kisvah Nosem Yonav V'Shulchan Bibeso, seems to be jam-packed, which we'll describe. V'Yotza Bibeso V'Hol Chavayis L'Yishacher. But then when you get the second get, you know, Usnei HaYish Achron, and then again you get V'Kosov L'Sefer Kisvah Nosem Yonav V'Shulchan Bibeso. Right, which is what you meant. So it's just very, it's almost like, you know, and you give a get. And the equivalent of giving a get is, quotation marks, you know, because of law, sefer krisus, v'nasa biyada, v'shilcha v'desa. And that's striking, right? Instead of saying, v'girsha, you know, which would have saved time and ink. Obviously, you know, the first impression about specificity and using language, you know, which conveys in a very, you know, meduyak, very precise, you know, and, you know, calibrated, intentional way, you know, what the nitty-gritty of Gerushin is going to be all about, you know, obviously that is so defining, you know, that even the second time, you know, when the Torah, you can't just allude to the Gerushin, you know, you need to repeat the whole thing, the because of Yada, Sefer Krisus, the Shilcha, you know, Mibesa. So I think that that is absolutely true. What, any other impressions, Akiva? First two are excellent. And there's no, this is not a right or a wrong. It's not like there and you can't miss it. You know, even what you said already is very good. Just like, you know, but since obviously you're pretty attuned to this, so, you know, I think we'll ride your, you know, your good instincts or.
I think, obviously, it's worth noting that it's really like a parsha of Machzik Yerushasso.
Say again?
It's really a parsha of Machzik Yerushasso.
Excellent. Okay, so you're really, so my instincts are going with your instincts. That's good. Okay. if you read the parsha, right, you're not only struck by the inclusion, you know, of Pasuk Dalet, which is Machzik Yerushasso, you know, broadly speaking, but you're particularly struck, number one, by what a massive pasuk it is. You know, lo yuchal ba'alah rishon asher shulcha lo shuv lekach to liyaso le'isha achrei asharutama. Again, all the words are, you know, einam omrim ela darsheni. It's like, ki toeva hi, lo sachti yasa aretz. Wow. Very, very long, very, obviously it's a very critical halacha. But even before you get to that, if I'm understanding Akiva correctly, It sounds like the, if you have to say, if you have to define, like, what is this parsha about, you know, or what's like the crescendo of the parsha, you know, ironically, strangely, right? It sounds like it's Pasuk Daled. Like, you know, everything is a build-up, everything is background, you know, to, well, if this happens and this happens, lo yuchal ba'al ha'rishon asher shochol asher lekachta li'aso le'isha akari asher tam. Correct? That's what you're saying? If that's what it sounds like the crescendo or the drum roll, you know, is really all about. And that, in addition to, you know, that explains a little bit why this is such a massive and also such a dense pasuk, and one which is like invoking, you know, Tumas Ha'aretz, you know, and Chatas Ha'aretz, and Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, and Toeva, you know, wow. Obviously this is something very major, and that would, you know, that's consistent with it being a crescendo, you know, but both of these are Tamua Biyoter. Number one, the circumstance of Machzor Grushaso is extremely rare. Okay, that doesn't mean anything, you know, but it's something worth noting. It's not like the, you know, the Torah can emphasize something, let me say it this way, because of its ubiquity, you know, because on a practical level, it happens a lot. It's like, you know, repetition. You know, we've talked about this, you know, those who've been here in the past, like when the Torah repeats things, you know, multiple formulations of a lab, etc. You know, sometimes it can be because, like, this is a very, sometimes Chazal say, or Mefarshim say, because, like, you know, people are nichshal in this, or they don't take it seriously enough, or it's so chamor that, you know, we're not going to take any chances, so we, you know, we have to emphasize it, you know, multiple times. Other times, or the other explanation, broadly speaking, is not because of, you know, its ubiquity, but because of its importance. And not just importance like, oh, but when it happens, it's devastating. And therefore we, you know, draw these bridges, you know, these walls around it, but maybe because conceptually, you know, it captures, you know, a certain idea, you know, even if it does, even if it is rare, and even if it's, you know, more kal relatively in terms of the halakha, you know, but there's something about, you know, a particular you know, mitzvah or isur, etc., the role that it plays, in other words, in terms of underscoring, you know, certain themes and motifs, you know, justifies its, you know, its place of honor. You know, here is the crescendo, and maybe all the other, you know, associations, you know, with it. So this is a rare instance. It's a lav, you know, not, you know, chiyuv misa. Remember that if you're a violation of Eishes Ish, you know, that's chayiv misa. Right. So, you know, why all of a sudden is this rare, you know, occurrence being given, you know, the kind of, again, the location, the impression and the cadences, you know, there's almost like a build-up to this. It is and it isn't. It's a build-up to it, in, I believe, in an embodiment kind of a way. This whole, you know, pasuk, as they say, is anyways difficult just even to define, right? Lo yuchal ba'ala rishon asher shilcha lashuv lekachta liyoso le'isha. What do you mean, acharei asher hutama? Acharei asher hutama is, you know, what are we talking about, right? Rashi says about acharei asher hutama, what does Rashi say? Jonathan?
So Rashi says, he's discussing the rabbi's sukkah is dark.
Yeah, this is based on the Gemara in Yavama's Daf Yud Aleph. That's referring to Sota.
Yeah, Sota is dark, which the Ramban elaborates.
Oh, we're going to get to Ramban in just a second, exactly. So the Rashi here says that the rabbi Sota Shenistra. What is Sota Shenistra? Suspected of violating marriage oath or betrayal of the husband, of a maisa zinus. And the Ramban But this is good. Before we get to the Ramban, this is rooted in the Gemara. This connection to Sota is based on the Gemara Yavamos Daf Yud Aleph. So somehow, according to the Gemara Yavamos that Rashi and the Ramban and others are picking up on, this isn't just Maksa Grushaso, correct? It is Sota, okay, which explains the language of Tuma, Toeva, Losakti, right? Even then, that's very striking, but these are, you know, it has to do with, although again, it's not about the Isha's betrayal, it's still about the Iser to the husband that is a consequence of her betrayal, right? Which is fascinating, because that isn't so obvious, you know, either. Not like, you know, it's one thing to say we don't forgive and forget, you know, but to perceive the continuation or a return to a marriage with such a person as Tuma To'eva Lifnei Hashem, right, and Chatas Haaretz, and something that, you know, kind of undercuts, you know, the fact that Klal Yisrael were given this Aretz as a Nachala, you know, for all that to be true, not on the betrayal, but on the, you know, on the forgiving and forgetting, or the ignoring of it, is very striking. Okay. At the same time, Rashi seems to say this refers to stira, even if there's no vadai znus. And Ramban calls that out. You have Ramban in front of you? Ramban calls that out because he just thinks it's factually incorrect in the Gemara and in the Halacha. Namely, go ahead. Yeah, if there's just stira and there's no vadai raya, then it shouldn't be this harsh. So what is it in fact? It's actual znus. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Which is good. Lishna Ma'aliyah is an important Musar Haskel, especially in any era, but especially in an era, you know, where, you know, Lishna Ma'aliyah isn't sufficiently appreciated. Okay, keep going.
Shalu, Nivala Behegel, Sivva Tumma, and the Star Behina Tumma, the Mikam Allah of the Lak. In Cain, Yomar Kosov, Lo Yukal Galva, Havisho, Nasher, Shalha, the Shoko, the Kafta, the Achare, Asher, Kutma, Hine, Him, Schneelabin, Yazir, Matsir, Gurushaso, Mishanesis, the Yazir, Matsir, Ishto, Shinitma, the Zos.
Okay, so one number one, the Ramban. We have to try to get back to Rashi at some point, but what did Rashi really have in mind? But we'll leave that for the moment. But the Ramban is, you know, okay, defining this as, you know, Machzir Sotaso, we'll call it. But then, of course, the problem is, like, you know, what's it got to do with anything? It doesn't sound that way. The Pesukim don't sound that way. Oh, and it sounds like there's a Machzir Gushaso here, and in the Halacha, this is the Makar for Machzir Gushaso. Right. So, like, what do you do with that, given the Gemara Yavamos, and given, you know, that the Gemara Yavamos is supported by the language of Tuma and Toeva and so on and so forth? Says the Ramban, apparently you have to read.
So he's saying that they don't come from the same language, but they share the same pasuk.
They share the same pasuk, and if you read the pasuk, if you parse the pasuk in a certain way, so the pasuk is teaching you two different lavin. One lav of Machzir Grushaso la'achar nisuin, and the other lav of Machzir Sotaso, even if there was no gerushin. Okay, which of course is fascinating. Now, on a minyan a mitzvos level, is it, you know, are you going to count that as one or as two? Right, that's a question. Partly it's a minyan a mitzvos question, but partly it's a conceptual question. Again, we're not going to study Machzir Grushaso extensively now, but at least, you know, we'll raise these questions. If you count it, you know, because one pasuk once, and it's not just a minyan a mitzvos issue of how many, you know, if you have one pasuk that teaches you two separate, you know, labim, two different machaibim, like how do you count it? So are you all, the implication may be that the two really are one. And frankly, even if you count them as two, the very fact that the Torah chose, right, to convey these two Isurim together in a way that makes it challenging to read the Pasuk, again, it's very hard to penetrate you know, divine intent. But, you know, it's reasonable speculation to say that if the Torah, you know, integrated these two things, even if they retain some independence, and certainly the more that they, you know, are interdependent, you know, that there is a, you know, mechaneh mishutaf, that there's a common denominator, you know, between the two. Somehow, you know, being maxir sotaso and being maxir grushaso, you know, are the same, or are similar enough to say, to share, like a single pasuk. So is that, because on a technical level, like, you know, these are two examples where, you know, somebody who, you know, you were previously had a marital relationship is with, you know, actions, you know, that subsequently, you know, occur, whether it's her betrayal or his, you know, gerushin and her subsequent nisuin, you know, determine that, you know, there's no going back. So is that the common denominator? Just, you know, the impact, you know, of actions and the inability, like, you know, to turn back the clock, you know, in certain situations? That seems pretty parv. I'm trying to be intellectually honest and, you know, kind of broad seeking, you know, what it might or might not be. Much more, it might be, and that would be important. Much more likely is that even though on the surface, you know, maxir sotaso, you know, seems like a much bigger problem, right? Because there's something, you know, that was destroyed, you know, in this marriage, you know, by her, you know, betrayal, betraying kind of behavior, which is you know, kind of anti-definitional to what Ishus is all about. You don't have that in the case of Gerushin. And it's not the Gerushin per se, because if it was the Gerushin per se, then it wouldn't matter whether it was Mina Erisin or Mina Nisuin, you know, frankly, unless that affected something else, namely whether Maksu Grushaso is kind of a lapsing, Maksu Grushaso Beheter, you know, is that ever kind of like a lapsing back into the Ishus, or is that, you know, completely new Ishus? But we'll leave that for the moment. So, but more likely, you know, on the one, if you have one pasuk which is teaching you something which is very, very severe and obvious, you know, and something that is, you know, much more mechudash, you know, so it, you know, may be harder to say the common denominator is simply, you know, what you can come back from, you know, when you can turn back the clock, but that maybe we should be reassessing our initial impression that, you know, maksu grushaso even mina nisuin, you know, isn't such a terrible thing. Maybe it's not such a terrible thing in terms of anybody's, you know, behavior. You don't have the betrayal aspect. Somebody like destroying, you know, the idealism of the ishus, you know, in that respect, savaging it. But maybe the effect of having an interim, you know, other nisuin after a gerushin, in terms of kedushas ha'ishus, maybe it's actually similar, as we'll explain. So what's particularly interesting is I'm kind of, you know, undergoing this analysis. We're undergoing this analysis, you know, within the Ramban's, you know, first perspective, which is that the Torah and this pasuk is teaching us two, you know, dinim. It's teaching us the din of sota and the din of maksir grushaso mina nisuin. Again, I'm raising the question, how many mina mitzvos, are they connected? How are they connected? What is it, a weaker common denominator, a stronger common denominator, etc.? But then comes, you know, even more more intriguing, the next line of the Ramban. Go ahead. He says Lefi Pshuto or whatever it is.
Al derech ha'pshat. Acharei asher hutma l'bal ha'rishon. Yirmos ki kol asher yeda ish acher. Tafsho lo tunea.
Say again. Kol asher.
Er yada ish acher. Tafsho lo
tunea. Tafsho lo tunea. You gotta go for the jugular there. Like, you know. This is dramatic. Meaning, now the Ramban's saying, previously the Ramban was saying, listen, the Pasuk is telling us two different things. The language of Tumah, the language of Toeva, all that goes on the betrayal, understandably. That's horrific. Right? That is, you know, that's a, you know, halachic, you know, anathema. Correct? However, does that apply? I mean, Masu Rishasim and Anasuin is prohibited, you know, but nobody did anything, you know, that was Asur, correct? Meaning they had a marriage, you know, again, we'll get to, you know, the justifications for a divorce. It's very sad, the Mizbeach is crying, you know. But again, nobody betrayed anybody. Everybody was, you know, behaved properly. And now the question is, you know, can you come back? You know, they got divorced. You know, she got remarried, you know, Nisuin. And, you know, then they found each other again. You know, can happen, you know, innocently, you know, in a certain way. How can you use language of Tumah and Toeva and you know, question, you know, whether such a nation, you know, deserves the Nachla, you know, of Eretz Yisrael? These are pretty big, they're big themes, right? Says the Ramban, no. The pshat is, you know, that really the Sota and the Machzor Grushaso are both Tumah, and they're both Toeva, and they're both undermining, you know, Nachlas, Eretz Yisrael, etc. Correct? So that's why I'm, you know, Yonatan's being very, like, you know, modest, which is a good thing. But that's why I say you have to read it with a little more gusto. Yeah, keep going.
The Elu Mitzvah is Mechudashos beget the Chazira. The Talmud Lava
Zed. Whoa. Something, the Ramban's saying, yeah, this is very Mechudash. Right? The Ramban knows that, you know, that the whole phenomenon here is Mechudash. And he hasn't even underscored Akiva's point, which is that if you just read the Psukim, it sounds like this is the crescendo of the whole parsha, and my addition that this is like the biggest, most, you know, intense, you know, pasuk of them all, ironically. So he's saying this is mechudash. Keep going. Yeah, we'll get, just give me one more second. Yeah.
That tam halacha zeh kidei shelo yachlihu nishoseihem zeh lazeh yiltova getva erek vavoker hishava yivav.
Ah, so this idea of kind of trivializing or being frivolous about gerushin, going in and out of marriages, you know, it's not exactly wife swapping, you know, but, you know, musical, you know, musical wives. I don't know. I don't know if I find the right word. But this kind of, you know, frivolous, as I say. Oh, you know, you get married, you get divorced. You get married again. You know, the, you know, kind of Richard Burton-esque, you know, kind of, you know, behavior, that is not just, like, improper and prohibited, says the Ramban, that's Tumah and Toeva, meaning using a get, you know, being fast and loose, you know, about Gittin and Kiddushin, you know, is, in the end of the day, savaging, you know, the Kedusha of Ishus. Keep going.
Zetam, the low tafia es haaretz, ki zet siva lechatoim gedolim. Bisifri, the low tafia es haaretz, lahazir biz den alka.
Oh, so that's the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is a packed Ramban, and a packed Pasuk, but it really highlights both Deos and the Ramban, especially the second Deo, you know, that... you know, that Masur Grushaso, you know, Minha Nisuin, isn't just something that's Asur, but it kind of accentuates, you know, the concept of Kedusha Sa'ishus and the role that Gerushin should play, but at the same time, the role that Gerushin, you know, should never be allowed to play. So, in light of the Ramban, and in light of this issue and problem, right? Maybe one could suggest that, you know, this really is kind of the crescendo of this parsha. Now, this is the parsha of Gerushin. You know, even though this is a more rare and, you know, in terms of chumrah, maybe relatively a more trivial, you know, isur or phenomenon, the language that the Torah uses and the build-up to it, you know, the embodiment of you know, the dialectic of how you have to relate to Gerushin, you know, is really captured, you know, by this crescendo of Matzah Grushaso and by the fact that it shares, you know, with Sota, notwithstanding that in one case you're talking about individual, you know, egregious, you know, betrayal of the very Ishus itself, and in the other case you're talking about kind of an attitude towards institutions, you know, of Ishus, where, you know, kind of you want to technically, you know, to use the language of the Ramban in Parsis Kedoshim, you know, I don't mean it literally, you want to kind of be like a Nabal Bereshus HaTorah, like, you know, you're only going to be involved, you know, the Heter, in the framework of Ishus, but you're kind of in and out of, you know, Ishus, you know, in a way, you know, which, you know, if it isn't equally egregious, it's egregious enough that it's Toeva, that it's Tuma, that it, you know, it undercuts, you know, the very notion of what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael itself. And that would be very, very crucial. Having said that, maybe we can go back to the beginning of the Parsha and note, you know, some of the things that we discussed and some other things as well. So, for example, Akiva, do you have any more impressions to share? I don't know, you're like on a roll here. Again, not right, wrong, just a few picked up on it or not, but so far, you know, you're like in the stratosphere. You may not want to like jeopardize that. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you want to clear a question before.
The fact that the Torah calls this a toeva,
yeah,
and
which is a very rare usage, by the way.
Exactly. Isn't it a little interesting that the Ramban then almost defines the ta'am halav as that is kidei shalei achlikim interesting though that it's almost like it sounds more like a takana or a geder, but then the Torah is calling that a toeva.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you assume a toeva to be something that's like fundamentally or?
Yeah. So I think that's a great point, and I think the answer is exactly what I said a minute ago, which is the sota part is like a maisa aveira. You know, and it's obvious, you know, that that's a maisa tuma exactly in the way that you're saying. What's mechudash, to use the language of the Ramban, I'm not saying that he's saying that this is the mechudash part, but what's mechudash in all of this is that protecting, like, the institutions in a broader way, even though there's no specific maisa vera, that too can be characterized as tuma and toeva because it ends up undermining, it seems less, but in a way, the implications are bigger. Meaning, if you're allowed to, like, you know, get married, get divorced, you know, even with, you know, interim marriages, like, you know, everybody's trying to, it's just like, you know, you're using Kiddushin and Gerushin as a heter, you know, bia in a way, or a heter, you know, ishus, you know, that is more frivolous, you know, that is based on, you know, all relative factors. You know, I like this better, I like this less, I like this more, I like, you know, we'll try again, we'll try, you know, a third, you know what I'm saying? So that in itself is, on an institutional level, is to'eva and to'eva. So I think you're right. It is striking, but that's what it is, according to the Ramban.
Okay. Rabbi, maybe this is, like, similar to the Isra of Yifud itself?
To what?
Similar to the Isra of Yifud itself, in the sense that it's, like, the geder, the hechsher almost.
Yeah, but I don't think it's so much a geder. There is a geder aspect, you know, to this. But the point is that you, by playing fast and loose with something which you should be, you know, relating to the COVID Rosh because of what is really at stake. I'll explain more in a minute. You know, that in itself is egregious, you know, and not only that, but the siag part of it, if you will, is that, you know, it opens the possibility that all the carefully kedusha calibrated parts of Ishus, you know, will all lose, you know, their you know, their significance. And that is like a devastating thing. That the last ha'ara of the Ramban, by the way, that maybe this is a din, the last line again, Yonatan, in Bezdin? Yeah. So Lahazir Bezdin Al-Kach is also very, very interesting in the following way. Right, to what extent, like, is this all about, you know, addressed to individuals? Or is this a din in, like, you know, Bezdin? Bezdin here, you know, representing, you know, the consensus of Chachmei Yisrael, you know, the interests of Klal Yisrael in matters of halacha. So you have a very parallel kind of discussion, you know, lo yeh kadesh, lo siya kadesha, lo yeh kadesh b'bnei Yisrael, b'nos Yisrael. So the Ramban actually in his Perush al HaTorah suggests that, you know, the whole big debate, you know what it refers to. Mishkan Zachar, is it about, Eved? There's a massive, massive debate, even among the Mepharshim al Atar, the Unklus and Rashi and Ramban, on the Pasuk of Kadesha. And then you have to, you know, integrate that with some of the Gemaras. Like, very, very difficult Parsha. The Ramban suggests that really that Pasuk refers to Bezdin. It doesn't refer to the individual who's in violation, because he argues that, you know, all those violations are already, accounted for in different lavin in the Torah. So, like, in a while, suddenly, yeah, kadesh lo siya kadesha. So he says, no, that actually is addressed to Bezdin. And the idea, you know, seems to be that, you know, in addition to Bezdin's general role, you know, as, you know, the guardians of halakha and standards and so on, it seems like, especially in matters of znus and ishus and kedushas ishus, that, you know, Bezdin may have, you know, an additional, you know, aspect or different role. And that makes a lot of sense in that this is like a very subtle error. You could look at, you know, the institutions of ishus, I say, in a very narrow way. You know, what is, you know, the halakha? Every culture, not every culture, but every culture that believes in some sort of formalized, you know, union, you know, has laws about, you know, what constitutes a marriage, who can, you know, who can officiate, you know, minimally, what rights does it provide, you know, and so on and so forth. And the halakha has that, you know, too. So there's, you know, there, you know, to organize society efficiently and maybe even a little bit idealistically, you know, you could look at ishus in that way. B'nai Noach have, you know, marriage and divorce. We'll get to that also. So Klal Yisrael has marriage and divorce. However, you know, the fact is that the overwhelming evidence is that the way that you get married and the way the conditions of divorce and the details of divorce, all of which we're in the middle of discussing in a very preliminary way right now, reflect, you know, that it's not just, you know, like protocol or formalizing or minimally, you know, regulating, precluding the chaos and providing some sort of a structure, you know, for fairness or, you know, so that, you know, Ishas Chavero is not going to be Chayim, you know, Bela'o, that, you know, people won't, you know, violate other people's rights, etc. But rather, the details, the exact methodology, the language of the Torah and Psukim, including what we just encountered, the whole spotlighting of Machzor Grushaso, the integrating of Machzor Grushaso with Sota, the language, etc., you know, all these and much, much more, especially the specificity of the details of Gerushin and of the structure of Kiddushin, etc., all these, you know, highlight that, you know, this is an area, you know, that is about Kiddushas Yisrael, right, in a big, big way. That's why, you know, language of Tuman, Toeva, and Nachlas Yisrael, all of these things are a factor, because this is really the, you know, there's a the Gaonim asked the question, you know, in you know, quoted in the Ran and others in Sugin Ksuvas Daf Ches, Daf Zayin or Ches, or which one? Like, why is it, you know, that in the Birchas Erusin, the Kadesh Amo Yisrael Ayidei Chupa V'Kiddushin, that the it's very rare for the Chasima Sabracha to speak about Kedushas Yisrael. Right, in every mitzvah, there's like a reference to Kedusha, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Sav V'Tzivanu. But the Chasima Sabracha, it's very rare. So you have it in the morning, Mekadesh Yisrael, Barabim. You know, you have a few here and there. But it was the Gaonim were struck by this, and they asked, like, you know, why Erusin, why Kiddushin gets a language, a Chasima of Kedusha. But again, the answer is, you know, that when Ishus isn't just an area of halakha, you know, and one that needs to be, you know, regulated and formalized, you know, for many reasons. It is a major, major manifestation and litmus test of Kedusha. Because it's an area, it's about family, it's about, you know, Piri Verivya, Gimel Shutfin Ba'adam, you know, it's also about, you know, physical interaction, you know, that can be perceived either as like the heights of Davar Shebekdusha or Kadesha, you know, where the fine line is very, you know, very fine, very subtle indeed. So the whole concept of Ishus and that interaction, that, you know, backbone of Jewish life is, you know, by its nature, you know, Davar Shebekdusha, justifying Mekadesh Yisrael or Mekadesh Yisrael Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin, depending on the Girsa. That, of course, puts enormous, you know, pressure on Geirusha, you know, and hence our first topic. Namely, if this is such a Davar Shebekdusha and we perceive, you know, Ishus in such, you know, idyllic terms, which we do, you know, how can there even be a divorce? And what are the grounds for divorce? And how does that reflect one way or another? And that's, you know, obviously what we're going to discuss pretty soon. But having said that, so this idea that, you know, this area, you know, in addition, because it is so much exemplifies the concept of Kedusha and is as a critical, you know, dimension of Kedusha Yisrael. So it's not surprising that the role of Chachmei Yisrael and Beis Din, in particular, is more expansive. So, for example, the Ran, I was pointing this out, the beginning of Masachet Ksuvos. Ksuvos, of course, the first mission in Ksuvos speaks about getting married on a Wednesday. You know, so that if there's any kind of dispute or misunderstanding, you know, or, you know, suspicion, as the case may be, you know, about the integrity, you know, of the Kala and whether she was really a Basula, you know, and so forth, that could be, you know, brought to Beis Din, you know, and, you know, that would be neutralized, you know, very rapidly, you know, that suspicion or that, you know, clarification, you know, etc. So there's a whole discussion in that Mishnah. Why isn't, you know, any suspicion, you know, simply under the rubric of, you know, stek sveka, in terms of it being anything which would lead to, you know, to isurin? Again, I don't want to go into detail, but if you look at the, you know, first Tosis and the Gemara Daf Tes in Ksuvis, you'll see, you know, what I'm speaking about. Like, why is it such a big deal that you should get married on a Wednesday so that if there's a problem, Beis Din can determine, you know, or solve, you know, the or clarify the situation? Like, big deal at worst, you know, even if the husband sees what he thinks he saw, you know, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, in the end of the day, it's, you know, a svek sveka, you know. Okay, that's a detail. The Ran, in answering this question, has an interesting line where he says something like, yeah, it's true that a svek sveka is mutter, but when it comes to this particular issue, it's, you know, al Beis Din mutal, right, you know, to find out what really happened. which is a way of saying, like, you know, if you're, like, you know, wondering objectively, like, what is the likelihood, you know, that you have a problem, then we apply things like Rove and Chazaka and Svek Sveka, etc. But here, we don't apply those, you know, routine principles because, you know, we don't want, it's like I explained the concept of Shmira, we want to preclude that there even is a Suffolk. And the reason that that is the case is because it's Besdin's job, you know, to kind of protect or to, you know, to enforce the integrity of Ishtar. He doesn't say those words, but that's kind of what he is getting at. So I think that's connected to the Ramban on Lo Yekadesh, Lo Siyakdesha, meaning there's a Besdin aspect. When you get married, right, Yoni? You say Kedas Moshe Yisrael. And, you know, we'll have a chance to talk about this as well. Like, it's a strange phrase. Like, you don't say Kedas Moshe Yisrael when you do, you know, other things. And according to some, it really, you know, is connected to, you know, the issues of Avkinu, and you know, Kiddushin or, you know, Gerushin under those conditions, a little bit like the last topic we discussed in Babasra, in Cheskes Habatim. So I always thought that, you know, based on the Ramban and the Ran and so on, you know, Kedas Moshe Yisrael has an added element, and that is the role of the Chachamim, right, in overseeing Ishus. There's even indications, not for now, but just to, as an allusion, maybe at some other time we'll discuss it, you know, that there are certain geirios, certain, you know, cases of geirus which are, you know, problematic, where you have, like, you know, a flawed geirushin, like a missing, you know, element, you know, in geirushin, or things of that sort, where you need, like, you know, an additional, you know, geirushin. The details are not important for now, but, you know, things like, according to some, if there's no, you know, proper couple of sol mitzvos, at least that isn't formalized, or there could be other situations as well. And some suggest that there's a difference between, you know, Yisrael Afa Pishachata Yisrael, who on the Avera side, like a Meshumet, or, you know, Geirus, you know, which is partially effective but partially not, that there might be a difference between Heter Knisa L'Kohol, like Heter Ishus, and other aspects of Kedushas Yisrael. In other words, that you could be, you know, either a Jew who behaves, you know, egregiously, again, like a Meshumet, or, I mean, coming in, you know, the effort to of Knisa L'Yisrael, but a Geirus that is flawed, that you could be a Jew and have Kedushas Yisrael with regard, you know, to, like, individual things, but not so much, or not, with respect to Heter Knisa L'Kohol. So what I'm trying to say is, all based, it's not all based on the Ramban, but when the Ramban says, oh, in the name of the Sifrei, that this din is a din in Besdin, and not just a din, you know, not just an Iser that devolves upon, you know, the individual, you know, there is a whole background. This seems to be supporting, again, this idea that, you know, Besdin has a particular role, you know, in Ishus, which makes total sense if we take this premise, and that is that, you know, Ishus is a particular dimension of Kedushas Yisrael as reflected by many Ishus. We're going to discuss very briefly also, does a get need a Besdin? The Pashtus, a get needs a din. But there is an Orzarua, and later a Noda Yehuda, a discussion that maybe a get is a Maisa Besdin, which also may be connected, you know, to this broad idea. Okay, so having said all of that, regarding the Ramban and the connection to etc., let's go back to Akiva. I don't remember. Did you have another Ha'ara? Or I cut you off? Because it was a question.
It's something we touched on already, but, you know, Kiddushin seems to be intertwined in this Parsha also, so that could be...
Oh. What about its role in the Parsha?
Because that could impact the question of, we mentioned earlier about, like, how, you know, the relative component is, are they going to manifest the same way?
Okay, so first of all, this parsha is the parsha of Gerushin, but it's also the parsha of Kiddushin. And V'yotzev Haisa, you know, raises the question of, you know, the relationship between them. And we need to talk a lot, you know, about that. That's a natural, you know, topic. Kiddushin and Gerushin are, you know, of course, by definition, parallel, you know, opposites. And the Hekesh of V'yotzev Haisa is, of course, fascinating. There are exclusions, you know, to that, as you would expect. And there are arguments about how far you push V'yotzev Haisa. I already alluded to the fact that, like, in both cases, you have dual components, like, you know, the relationship to the husband, the relationship to the rest of the world. But whether the balance, you know, between those proportions, between those, you know, elements is identical or not is an interesting, intriguing question. Okay, so there's a lot to think about in terms of V'yotzev Haisa, and we absolutely will get back to it. But the horror that I want to add is that this is the parsha of Kiddushin and the parsha of Gerushin. But the Kiddushin part is dwarfed by the Gerushin part. So let's just talk about the relationship between the two in the parsha. There's one pasuk about, no, I'm sure I shouldn't say that. There's a half a pasuk about Kiddushin, right? And the rest of the three and a half psukim are about Gerushin. Now, quantitative analysis can be misleading, but, you know, it's still worth looking at. Even in the half pasuk, frankly, you know, you've got, what is it, 5 words on Kiddushin, and then, I'm not counting them, but there's like 15 words on Gerushin. There's inequality even in the first pasuk, more to the point. The Kiddushin here is a background for the Gerushin. In a way, it's missed, you know, if I was teaching Kiddushin now, or Ksuvas, I would also start with this parsha, you know, because that's where the Torah speaks about Kiddushin, right? Ki yikach, kicha kicha m'stei Ephraim, right? Uva'ala, kiddushei bia. This is where it comes. These are the psukim in the Torah that are the authoritative makoros of Kiddushin. However, as I say, it's dwarfed in the parsha, dwarfed in the pasuk, and forget about that. It's all consistent with that. It's the background of the parsha of Gerushin. Right, it's ki yikach ish isho va'ala. Right, when there's a marriage, now let's talk about what we're really interested in talking about, which is divorce. Right. Moreover, again, relative to what we know about Kiddushin and what Kiddushin is an extremely complex institution. Right, ha'isha niknes. Right, begin. We're going to stop in a minute. I'm sorry to get to the Mishnah Gimel. We'll start with that on Monday, hopefully. But we still have a little more to do with the psukim. Ki yikach ish isha, you know, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin says that, you know, ha'isha niknes begimol drachim bekesef bishtar, you know, ubabia. It also, by the way, says the kones atzma, you know, beget, you know, ubamisa saba. So even the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, you know, can't, you know, help itself, you know, you could say. Or, meaning, appropriately, you know, thinks that, you know, how you unravel the Kiddushin is connected to the Kiddushin. But the point is that there are three methods of Kiddushin, only one of which is mentioned in the pasuk. In other words, let's say it this way. Unlike the specificity, you know, and the impression, you know, with the quotation marks, you know, that Gerushin is like a very, very inflexible, specific protocol, even what, you know, engenders Kiddushin, you know, is dealt with in the Torah in a much more general way. I mean, you have to learn the Gzeirah Shavah of Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim. Even then there's some debate whether that's Daraisa or Drabanan. Let's assume, you know, that even Rambam believes it's Daraisa, but certainly it's you know, not Mefurish Bakra. The only one that's Mefurish Bakra is Uva'ala, the Kiddushei Bia. The Shtar, you know, comes from the Hekesh of V'yotzev Haisa, you know, etc. So the Torah is very specific, you know, and repetitive and detailed, and uses like language which is, each of which is off the charts, you know, and teaches you myriads of halachos, but probably where there's a pattern, which I'll get to in a second, when it comes to Gerushin. In Kiddushin, you have this kind of broad kiyikach, v'hoisa, you know, and we know that even Daraisa, you know, it's far more inclusive. It's more flexible to get, you know, the marriage than the divorce, the methodology. Moreover, you know, it's important to know in general that the Torah doesn't explicitly, you know, speak about Nisuin. Nisuin is a Daraisa requirement, you know, in Ishus. The Torah zeroes in on Erusin, not on Nisuin. There might be references in Psukim to Nisuin, you know, but I made this point, you know, in other contexts, but even in Torah Shebaal Peh, even in the Halacha, defining Nisuin is tough. At least Kiddushin in the end of the day, whatever it is, maybe the Mikra is a little bit, you know, flexible. But at the end of the day, we know, you know, what works Daraisa and what does not. You know, Kesef Shtar and B. But Chuppa, Nisuin, which is a Daraisa din, as a completion of the Ishus, you know, in the Torah we certainly don't know exactly what it is. And there's like a wide-ranging debate. And it could be, you know, that it's different for an almana than it is for a basula, according to the Yerushalmi. It could be multiple things work. The Rambam talks about multiple things. But anyways, Kupa Mandakar Shemei in Sol Parsha, which is very interesting. Why is that? Why is the Torah specific about certain things and more willing to let drashos, you know, or whatever, or flexible, more flexible posture apply to other things? There has to be a pattern. Oh. So we need to figure that out. But again, the background of Kiyikaki, of course it doesn't require Nisuin, because it's really just the preamble. You know, this is really the parsha of Gerushin. So what I'm trying to say is, the few psukim that we have anyways don't even cover fully Erusin. They say nothing about Nisuin. And that further reinforces the impression that the Kiddushin part of this parsha is simply, you know, the background of Gerushin. But if you had asked me, like, you know, what would you rather speak about in terms of Kiddushas Ishas, Kiddushin or Gerushin, you know, of course we'd rather speak about, you know, Kiddushin. That's the positive. That's where you can, you know, rhapsodize. You can be eloquent about, you know, Baal ke Ishto and Ishto ke Baal and everything that goes into that. So the Torah's heavy, heavy emphasis, downplaying of you know, aspects of Ishus, and seeing it only as kind of the foundation for discussing Gerushin is very striking. What I would say, similar to what I have said, you know, with regard to Matzah Grishaso, is that maybe what the Torah profoundly is conveying is that, you know, the Gerushin, you know, dramatically, like, highlights, you know, the impact, you know, and the stature of the Chalos of Ishus. And this would explain the rigidity of, and the specificity, you know, the loaded, you know, terms, you know, of get. It's so difficult unless you precisely follow the protocol. And the protocol itself symbolically highlights how difficult it is to neutralize an Erusin. It's easier to engender the Erusin, even though, again, it's a chalos, it's a new creation. What you're building in Erusin, you know, is more mechudash. You know, that's why you need Eidi Kiyum, special das, but we'll discuss all these things. You might have thought that, you know, Ishus is Yesh Me'ayin, practically. You know, you're creating this new institution. It's not just Heter Isha Labala, but it's, you know, a family structure, a certain relationship. Gerushin is like, you know, you might have thought, is unraveling that. You know, it's siluk and hafkah, so it's going back to what was previously. It's just unraveling the Ishus. That Ishus, Yitziras HaIshus, or Kalos HaIshus, is like a creation, that seems absolutely true. But that doesn't necessarily, that could be accomplished with more than one, you know, emphasis, as long as it's, you know, an integrated chalot. So whether it's kesef or shtar or bia, the fact that you also, you know, need and to split it up and there are two phases, et cetera, et cetera, you know, that's the issues part of the story. But what the, you know, psukim in the get and the dinim of get and the mesachta of gerushin teaches us is that on one level, gerushin is the undoing of the issues, but it's so much more than that. Because issues is a definition and an existing, you know, new, you know, transcendent reality, so what get really needs to do, you know, is a matir that dismantles, you know, all of that. And that's what these psukim tell. Kikach ish ishuvalu is the background, but in a way, you know, the specificity and the specifics and the character of gerushin, right, is what's moreh, what teaches you about the greatness, you know, of ishus in the end of the day. So the fact that it is, this we'll pick up with this on Monday, of course this goes to the question of what justifies a get, but the fact that it's v'kasav, you know, dafka yidei ksiva, and not amira, which differentiates it from Benoah. Law, you know, lishma, sefer, it's got to be a sefer with sfiras dvarim, which is a certain kind of requirement of clarity, that it's krisus, not my fault, this is like all true, krisus, dovra kores beino lebeino, where like, you know, the bond is absolute, and therefore the, you know, the end, the termination has to be unqualified or unconditional, you know, complete, there can't be any, you know, remnant or remaining whole. That it's v'nasan, question what that means as opposed to kinyan, biyada, that there's no tligitech, you know, me'algabe karka. And that it's not v'sholcha, but it's v'shilcha, which is a far more act, you have to be matir, you have to, you know, evict her from the marriage. It's not enough to end the marriage, the termination of the marriage, like you're walking away from the marriage. All these highlight that. And it's mi beso. Beso zuishto. Right? Basically what you're doing is you're dismantling, but therefore you need an active shilcha, you know, the very concept of bias. You know, and then it's v'yotza mi beso v'hocha v'hoisa. Then you have the repeat. What to get? Because of the sefer krusis v'nasa diyada v'shilcha mibesa, because you need all of those things. How it connects with the okiyamus, the other kones atzmo, is something to think about. And that leads to the, once you understand maksu krushasa and what ishus was and what get is, despite it, that really highlights the maksu krushasa, you know, part, as we discussed it in the connection to sota as well. So I want to pick up with, you know, a little more on these psukim in these words, to highlight them a little more, just to you know, to reinforce them with this. I conclude. It's interesting. Look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus. We'll talk about it next time. You know, it's, it talks about past history, how Bnei Noach, you know, used to, you know, be Makadesh, and then he launches right in Gerushin. I'm guessing he was affected by the psukim and just by the dinim. The Rambam starts off with the 10 requirements, you know, absent which you cannot accomplish again. You know, the accentuation of how formidable it is. And, you know, he doesn't even mention the parallel, you know, to Ben Noach. Hold me to it, I'll try to explain why on Monday. Okay, so this is a little bit about Gam and the Psukim, and we'll move forward. Okay, thank you. I just got to run.